Welcome, 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 everybody, to the Bros and Consoles podcast mini-series solo gaming updates. This is episode 37, coming to you on January 28th, 2021. Still kind of weird to be saying 2021 now out of 2020. Man, it's been an interesting week. There's a lot of things going on this week, and we'll kind of get into everything one at a time, but just kind of going over things for maybe new listeners here. My name is Nathan Choquette. I am one half of the host for the Normal Bros and Consoles podcast. My co-host, Michael Panarero, is currently, you know, trying to stay safe. We're all trying to stay safe, social distance and everything. And once we kind of figure out a way to, you know, bring the two of us together in an area where we kind of feel comfortable and, you know, okay with kind of recording a podcast. I don't know if that involves like both of us having masks or both of us kind of like sitting across the room from each other. Whatever it is, we'll eventually get there. But or maybe once I've got my vaccine. I do have, I think, one half of the vaccination done now. I think the next one is going to be coming up in the end of February. Got to wait for about 24 to 28 days, I believe, for mine. So maybe that'll be the case there. Once I've been vaccinated, maybe we'll be kind of feeling a little bit better about everything. But until then, you got me here giving you some solo gaming updates each and every Thursday. And today's one is a bit interesting. It's coming a little bit later in the day, just because there's been kind of quite a few news developments lately. And surprisingly, it actually enters the world of video games over here. it's some weird times when video game news ends up mixed in with, you know, real world news, if that makes sense, or regular world news, if that kind of makes people feel better. It's been a weird week, and because it's been a weird week, we're going to start off a little bit differently than normal. Instead of just going into games I've been playing, we're going to start off straight with some news for this week. So I've been hinting at a little bit. Some people that have been following regular news may kind of know what I'm getting towards over here, but the hot item of the week in regards to news and video games combined is GameStop, and specifically GameStop stock that has been going on a crazy ride over here for this past several days. It's so weird because I think it started just earlier this week, and it feels like it's been so long because time no longer has any meaning during quarantine times. But yeah, it's been pretty crazy. So to give people some background story, people who are, you know, not familiar with GameStop, it is a, you know, retail mom and pop kind of shop. I guess more of a big corporation kind of thing itself, but it is kind of a brick and mortar video game store that people go to buy new, used video games, as well as just kind of like consoles, like pre-owned, never owned, all these different things, right? They started to add in more things to kind of boost their overall revenue, like pop action figures, and or I guess not really action figures. They're just like pop figurines, kind of these big head figure type things. They're collectible kind of stuff, as well as like t-shirts and apparel and all these extra things, right? So GameStop, obviously, as you can tell, has kind of evolved over the years to, you know, support a what some may call dying business model, with everything kind of slowly becoming more and more digital. And then with, you know, of course, COVID happening and stuff, people are less likely to want to go into like physical stores and are just more comfortable buying things online if they can. So it's been a struggle for them overall. I think last year they saw the closing of anywhere from like 300 to 500 of their stores across the nation. And I think from what I remember reading recently, there are plans that I think a total or 1,000 more stores are going to be closed sometime leading up to March of this year. So clearly a lot of things kind of going on there. But in regards to like all of that, right, now we get to kind of the actual like news section here. And this is admittedly where it gets pretty complicated because, you know, it's involving stocks and stock prices and all these things. This is an area of, you know, adult life that I've never really tried to pay too much attention to. In my opinion, personally, the stock market is very much so just kind of like a gambling man's game. It's really just like a, you know, I guess you could say maybe like more socially acceptable form of gambling where people kind of call them like investments rather than like gambles, which is, I think if you were to, you know, take a step back and kind of look at the way things are. They are essentially gambles. You're gambling for like long-term purposes in terms of like saying, oh, you know, I think that, say, like, I don't know, Apple is going to be doing well over the next 20 years, so I'll buy some stocks with them, and then kind of if they go up in value, then I make some money kind of thing, right? So it's not as maybe like volatile and kind of like quick and short-sighted as like gambling in a casino might be and stuff, but there is obviously some, like, I think inherent volatility built in because of the way stocks just kind of rise and fall. But in relation to GameStop, right, I think last year is when GameStop stock hit its kind of like lowest points. I want to say when it was at its lowest value, it was somewhere between, I think, like $1 to $3 a share, which is, you know, pretty low. I'm not like a stock market connoisseur or anything like that, but in my opinion, it's a pretty low kind of thing when you see some of the prices of some other companies and whatnot. And, you know, that's because of all the different things that were going on. Poor tidings, bad fortunes, all that kind of stuff going on with GameStop, store closures. So the stock prices, you know, took a real big hit there. But however, there is a, I'm just letting you know, I'm pulling from a news article here, which I think kind of has quite a bit of good information in it for people who are looking to really kind of get the lowdown on this entire story, because just kind of seeing this story pop up in the news yesterday, you really don't get like the full picture. And without the full picture, your opinion kind of may be swayed towards one side or the other kind of thing, where it makes it, I think the news kind of makes it seem like these people who are kind of making the stock like jump in price for GameStop are kind of like these bad guys who are just controlling the stock market from their armchairs and stuff, as I think they've called them, like armchair investors and all these weird nicknames and stuff. But kind of diving into like what's going on back here, when GameStop stock was really low, right? A group on Reddit took notice of kind of things that are going on. And apparently, according to this article on Vox by Emily Stewart, it's titled "How a Bunch of Redditors Made GameStop Stock Soar." So according to kind of some of the things in her article, as well as other things that I've been able to find, is that there is kind of information that is readily available for people who are kind of looking for it, right? And this is where things may get kind of complicated. So hopefully you kind of stick with me here and we can kind of get to, you know, the conclusion of this news story together and whatnot. But basically, right, so when GameStop stock was really low, people, or I guess maybe not just people, but companies and stuff, can sometimes bet against stocks doing well or against companies doing well. And this, I believe, is what's, from what I'm kind of understanding here, is what's called shorting a stock. Now, basically, this gets real complicated. This is what I mean about, like, man, this type of kind of like adult life stuff with stocks and whatnot just kind of seems so like ridiculous sometimes, fantastical and ridiculous. But apparently, right, what they can do in terms of shorting a stock is that you borrow stock from a company that's kind of like selling it, right? And if the stock price happens to, because you've borrowed it, from what I understand, if the stock price happens to fall further, you can then sell back the stuff that you know, quote unquote, borrowed and whatnot. And they are then giving you the value of the stocks at, I kind of like the difference there is basically, it sounds like what the people, you know, doing the short stock selling and whatnot are kind of making in terms of money back. So from what I kind of understand in a limited way, basically, right, if we just kind of put this in simple terms, shorting stocks, bad, kind of shady sounding a little bit there. That's kind of what I'm getting in a general gist here, right? If I'm trying to just boil things down for people. So basically people are betting against GameStop doing well, right? And for, you know, people that, what they call it, kind of call just retail traders and whatnot, people that are just, you know, regular average Joes, things like that, and average Janes, probably females as well. But just regular people who are trying to kind of like dip their toe in the stock market, there are now kind of options for that where you don't have to go through your own broker and everything, have like a middleman there. Things like the application Robinhood, as well as I think like E-Trade, e-commerce, things like that. But basically, it's kind of become more available for people on the what they call retail traders to kind of enter the market. But it always sounds, from what I've been reading, it sounds like retail traders don't tend to make that big of an impact. And the people who are, you know, playing the stock market as like a regular job for themselves, they're kind of the ones that are making bank and making away with like millions of dollars kind of stuff, right? But yeah, so that's kind of one aspect of it where if you're kind of looking at it like bare bones, there's some hedge fund individuals and companies that are basically betting against GameStop doing well. And people on the Reddit called Wall Street Bets kind of took notice of this and started to devise a plan in order to, you know, stick it to the hedge funds and big companies who are trying to, you know, profit off of, you know, seemingly a company's demise, right? Which sounds, I think, I don't know if you can put it any way that doesn't sound, you know, kind of gross, right? Where people are betting against companies doing well, and so therefore when they fail and go out of business and stuff, then they just make a whole bunch of money. It sounds gross, and I think people could probably understand that portion. But they kind of devised a plan over on Wall Street Bets, the Reddit post over there, that if they were to, you know, start to buy stocks and things like call options. I'm not going to get into these like super tight details and stuff, but if they start to kind of like, you know, buy stocks for GameStop, it starts to drive up the prices and whatnot. And as these prices go up, the people who are betting against GameStop, now if they are to, you know, save themselves, if they're trying to like get out without losing as much as they can, they have to like immediately like cut their losses and sell all their stock, because now the stuff that they borrowed, they're going to have to pay money for, in because, you know, it's the opposite effect, right? So they started to drive the stock prices up. Stock prices, man, I'm not good at like quick math like this, but it went from, you know, around like the $1 to $3 range to all the way up, I think at the highest point it was at like $400 something, which is a huge, huge increase. So the people who are buying these stocks and making it drive up and whatnot, obviously, like, they are clearly sticking it to the people who are, you know, betting against GameStop, and kind of sending a message there is one of the points. Also, just like, you know, it's we live in this time now where there's so much talk of kind of like billionaires and millionaires and how they just kind of continue to make money off of the backs and kind of like despair of other people, of just regular working people, which is kind of really unfortunate and overall. But this is kind of one of those stories that I feel like you don't get very often, where the little guys have kind of stuck it to, you know, the big guys who are trying to make money off of these like shady operations. And, you know, it seems like it's worked. I think basically from what I was kind of hearing, when the stock prices started to shoot up and the hedge fund people started to realize what was going on, they tried to immediately cut losses and basically sold their borrowed stocks, the short stocks. And I think lost something to the tune of like several billion dollars, basically, which gives you an idea of, you know, how much money they probably stood to gain from betting against this company failing and whatnot. But yeah, so I mean, this crazy situation has now like entered the limelight of like regular nightly news kind of stuff, which is weird to see. And hearing them kind of talk about it, like I mentioned, it sounds like they're kind of putting these, you know, like Reddit users and whatnot in kind of a bad light, as like, oh, they're causing people to lose so much money and whatnot. But these are really people that, I mean, I think according to Emily's story on here, I can't find it right away, but they did mention that there was basically kind of a bailout that's already happened for the hedge fund that, you know, lost all that money. They basically had very rich backers and whatnot that could basically kind of, you know, get them the money that they had like lost just then in order to kind of stay afloat and whatnot. So I can't really say that I feel sorry for the people who are kind of using these shady business practices in order to try and make a lot of like cash, maybe not really quickly, but just a lot of cash in general. And, you know, good for the people on the retailer trader sides that are actually being able to kind of make changes and clearly clearly put into the spotlight issues that exist with the stock market for, you know, everyone to kind of see. So much so that according to, oh, this is another news story over here. According to David Shepardson over on Reuters, there is apparently going to be some hearings for, or Congress hearings in relation to the GameStop trading and kind of the state of overall stock markets. That should be kind of interesting to take a look at and kind of watch over the next, you know, however long it takes to kind of go through these hearings. Just because on the, you know, side of everything going on with GameStop prices kind of shooting up and whatnot, I should clarify, the trading apps that were kind of being used to purchase these stock options and whatnot, places like Robinhood, I'm not sure if e-commerce or E-Trade did this as well, but Robinhood's kind of been in the spotlight for it, where they basically kind of froze the ability for regular people to purchase GameStop stock in order to kind of try and control the, you know, what they called market volatility. And, you know, the thing was pointed out, I think, on Twitter, I believe, that basically, like, they froze the option for people, you know, that were buying these things to, like, continue to buy more and, you know, in theory, drive up the prices more. They allowed them to still sell it if they wanted to, so they left them with that option. But they didn't freeze the ability of, from what it sounds like, they didn't freeze the ability of hedge funds and whatnot to kind of like have those same kind of restrictions. So places, it sounds like basically just kind of the little guys being screwed over here, and people are very upset about it, is kind of what I'm kind of getting there from all the stories I've been reading about it. And I think that's kind of why people have been very upset about Robinhood overall, like the handling of everything, and that's kind of seemingly why Congress is now getting involved, because, you know, they're clearly playing favorites with hedge funds and rich investors that are in Wall Street in order to kind of, you know, make people that are on the more powerful side happy in terms of all of this. It's an unfortunate kind of thing, but I mean, this does happen in the world, so I'm just gonna have to wait and see how everything plays out. But hopefully some kind of good will come of these like Congress hearings and stuff, and we'll be able to figure out kind of what's the future of all this. I got to imagine that in the background here, GameStop is just like blown away by this entire thing going on with their stock prices and the trades and all this stuff. Because, you know, I think they've probably known for quite a while that like things are not going well, hence like all the store closures and whatnot after I think new management had changed over. But yeah, I'm sure like for them, like seeing stock like shoot up like that and stuff, like it's got to be like a really kind of surreal situation for all of them. So I'd love to be like in the shoes of like them at the moment to kind of just like know how they're feeling about everything. But yeah, it's crazy. There's crazy stuff going on lately. So that's been the kind of the major thing in gaming news over here. Let's go ahead and this is kind of the reason why I switched things out of order a little bit, is because this was some kind of real heady kind of stuff. I didn't want to get like too far into it and, you know, just end on that, because that's a real like head spinner and whatnot. So we're going to move from there into something, or a few things more like lighthearted and stuff. Kind of going still a little out of order, but there is a cool thing that Michael and I started up over the weekend, I believe. I think we started it on Sunday. And if you guys want to play along or watch along, feel free to hit us up, or even just kind of look us up on the actual website itself. So there's a website called fantasycritic.games. And what this kind of thing is if you imagine the idea of like fantasy football, right? Or like sports, fantasy leagues, this is kind of a similar idea, except it's related specifically to video games. That's kind of how I describe it to people who are, you know, just kind of on the outside looking in. Basically, though, it's related specifically to kind of like games releasing and the overall like not user reviews, but overall critic reviews of games as they release. And it uses, or I think it links up with a website called OpenCritic. There's kind of another major one called Metacritic, but that one is not what's linked to fantasycritic.games. But OpenCritic, yeah, it has kind of basically this compilation of all the different games as they release, as Metacritic does. And then basically as those scores are updated, if you have the games in your, like, quote-unquote, like, fantasy, like, publisher league and whatnot, then basically you get points for, I think, every point – higher than a 70 gets you a point, and then I'm not sure if it's once it gets to the 90s you get additional points or not. But basically, the better a game does in terms of critic reviews and whatnot, the more points you get for having that on your roster and everything. So Michael and I think, had thought about doing it last year and then just kind of never set it up. But this year, because we caught it like early on and stuff, I figured we'd get it started. So I set it up on Sunday, and then we kind of both went through a kind of back and forth, I guess, like beginning, like trading kind of thing, or drafting is what it's called. Beginning drafting. You guys can tell I've never done fantasy leagues at all. But we kind of did our own like drafting and stuff. Our publishing companies, as they call them on here, we kind of both made our own publishing companies. And then basically now we are going to kind of watch to see how the games we picked start to review. And then throughout the year, we can add additional ones as well. I set it up so that we have a total of 25 games that we can have on both of our rosters individually. And then the initial draft, we pick 10 games, and then obviously have 15 free spots that we can add things to throughout the year. And basically, we're just going to kind of see how everything goes, see who ends up with the cool points at the end. I can kind of read you guys the list here just to show you kind of what we're working with at the moment. Obviously, we don't have everything that's been or that's going to be released later on this year. There are some kind of restrictions and whatnot to kind of the rules. Things like no remasters or remakes, I believe, are kind of some of them. No games that have already come out in, like, say, Japan, but haven't come out in the West yet. So things like that, where it would kind of, you know, show our hand in terms of, like, obviously we know it's going to be a good game because it's already been reviewed in other countries and stuff. So trying to keep things a little bit more fair there on both sides, where we don't know how things are going to do, and hopefully based on what we've chosen, we'll get points and whatnot. And see who comes out the king of the draft at the end of everything. But I think this will be kind of a fun thing to do, and I'll go ahead and go through our list of 10 games that we have each so far. So I went ahead and picked Horizon Forbidden West, God of War Ragnarok, Resident Evil Village, or Resident Evil 8 for people who understand the franchise and whatnot, Deathloop. I picked Kena Bridge of Spirits, Halo Infinite, Bravely Default 2, New Pokemon Snap, Gran Turismo 7, and Cyber Shadow. Then we have Michael's picks over here. He picked Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. He picked Hollow Knight Silksong, Monster Hunter Rise, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, Nier Replicant Version, bunch of numbers. that's kind of, it's a garbage name, but cool series. Then he also picked 12 Minutes. He picked Little Nightmares 2, Elden Ring, Solar Ash, and Back for Blood. So that's the total of 10 games there for Michael. Now, at the moment, we're still obviously really early in the year. The next one that is coming up that's going to be scored is Little Nightmares 2, coming out on February 11th. So we'll kind of see how that one shakes out for Michael's side and everything. I ended up picking Cyber Shadow towards the end because it looked like a really good game, and based on when we actually signed up for this, or like made the drafts and everything, I wouldn't have been able to put Cyber Shadow on my list if I had waited to try and draft it onto my thing afterwards. I believe the website updates every Saturday at a certain time, and any kind of draft picks, or like bids, I think as they call them, that people have kind of made throughout the week and stuff all get processed then at the same time. So basically, because Cyber Shadow came out this past week, I had to get it on my list right away. And it's a good thing I did, because it did pretty well so far. On OpenCritic, apparently, it has a score of an 82, which means I got a total of 12 points for that. So at the moment, I have a 12-point lead over Michael. That's not saying much, because Michael doesn't have anything that's been scored yet. So we're going to wait and see how this shakes out. But I'm quite proud of that that opening score there. It's nice to see that a game that I think looks really cool by kind of more of an indie developer and stuff ends up doing pretty well. So I'm excited to kind of see how things continue to shake out. I'll try and keep you guys updated as we get more like releases and whatnot. And yeah, we'll kind of see how this goes. If you guys want to follow along, the overall league is called Bros and Consoles. So that should be pretty easy to find because it's basically our podcast name. But yeah, if you want to follow along there, I think you can actually follow it on the website itself if you want to see that stuff. And if you guys wanted to make your own thing, it's pretty easy to do on there as well. So people who are interested in kind of looking up that stuff, feel free to check it out, fantasycritic.games. And yeah, obviously this is not sponsored in any way, but I think it's pretty cool, and I think Michael enjoyed it as well. So this will be a fun kind of new thing to do, because it's hard to do predictions when there's so few press conferences and stuff nowadays because of all the shutdowns and stuff, right? So yeah, we'll just keep watching on for that and kind of see how it all goes. Now, kind of the last part here, kind of come back around to what I originally do in the beginning of the show. I've got the stuff I've been playing throughout the week, and it's a decent sized list, I'd say. But I'll breeze through some of these because some of them have been talked about before. Some probably don't need much of an introduction, and some of them I'll spend a little bit more time on because it's kind of some newer games that I think are pretty cool. So the first one, Minecraft, something that I play quite a bit off and on. Lately I've been more in the mood to play more of it, so it's been fun to kind of just jump in there, create some worlds, and just kind of listen to podcasts and stuff. A fun thing that I kind of like to do is there are a bunch of old IGN videos that I like to watch of Greg Miller and Brian Altano kind of podcast style, like talking back and forth to each other as they kind of play and figure out how to play Minecraft. And it's fun kind of just going through those videos, and then it's eventually just fun to kind of see as the videos progress, like what kind of stuff they like create, because sometimes there's things, I don't watch a lot of like Minecraft videos, but I feel like having seen like glimpses of other places and stuff, that it's cool to see what other people create in the world, just to kind of have ideas of kind of new things that I would like to build eventually and stuff. I feel like over time, I've slowly gotten a better idea of like how I kind of want things to look aesthetically in the game and whatnot. And it's cool. It's cool to see kind of new creative ways to play the game and everything. I also played a game called Football Game, which I think I have played semi-recently. This time it was for the PS4, so I got the Platinum there. Now I have gotten the Platinum on PS4 and Vita, so that one's done off the list. Don't have to worry about it anymore. I also played a game called Undead Horde. Now, this one is a special one, not in terms of, you know, like crazy amazing gameplay or anything like that, but special in the case of it's a newer, I guess it seems newer. It's an older game that I think was also on the PS4, but got, for some reason, a PS5 edition as well. So basically, if you bought the PS4 version of the game, you could then upgrade to the PS5 version. And I think shortly before the PS5 came out, this game was on sale for, I don't know, something ridiculous. It was like $3-something. So it was a good deal. So I ended up getting it. I've been playing a little bit of it, and it's pretty fun. You basically play as a necromancer. So you're kind of on the evil side here a little bit, and you were trapped inside of some kind of, you know, small urn or something by a paladin. And basically, a chicken breaks the urn that you're in because the area that you were sealed in has kind of been forgotten about. It's become all dilapidated and whatnot. And you kind of rise from your own grave and everything and start to raise your own undead minions and things. You're kind of taking over towns and having your revenge and whatnot. But it's kind of a real like funny like 3D art style where it feels kind of very old school in terms of, I don't know, even thinking of games like older games like RuneScape and whatnot. It's kind of got that old, like real blocky, polygonal shapes and whatnot. But it's been fun so far. I like kind of the simplistic gameplay. It's taken me a bit of time to adjust to the controls. I think that's kind of the one thing where it seems like most of the controls is all on like the bumpers and the triggers for the controller. So that part is kind of thrown me for a little bit of a loop. And then kind of overall just managing my own undead minions and whatnot. You have to really watch that the, you know, regular like townspeople and things and soldiers are not kind of overrunning all your guys and continue to resurrect new bodies. Because that's kind of one of the main, I guess, hooks of the game is that as your undead minions are finishing off like the guys who are fighting against you, you can basically then resurrect those ones. So as your minions fall eventually, then you can kind of resurrect the bodies of the recently deceased, I guess. and keep the loop going. And it's been pretty cool. I like kind of where the story seems like it's going. It seems like it'll be kind of interesting. I've also played a little bit of Atelier Ryza 2. This one, it's going to be weird because I haven't played the first one, but I wanted to jump into it and kind of see how the game is, and I'm enjoying it quite a bit. It's super anime style, and I think this one will probably be more interesting for me. I have a bunch of the Atelier series in general, so it's a huge franchise, several games at this point. And this is the first one, I think I've mentioned before, it's the first one that is a sequel to another Atelier game. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how things go along. But so far, I like the characters. It's nice to have I'm sure other ones have had this as well, but it's nice to be able to press a button and it just kind of auto plays through the dialogue of cutscenes and whatnot. The game is entirely in Japanese language, but they have English subtitles and whatnot. So that's been a real, you know, lifesaver there. I don't know if I could handle playing this game just in English voice acting and whatnot, depending on the voice actors, I guess. But yeah, it's been fun so far. It's kind of a more like relaxing game from what I'm getting the vibes of so far. But I think similar to the first Atelier Ryza, it seems like eventually things will kind of take a more, you know, drastic turn in the story and whatnot, which is what I'm hoping for. But yeah, I think I'll take some time before I kind of fully get into this because I want to kind of look around, see if I can find the first game somewhere, and then hopefully kind of play through that before jumping fully into Ryza 2, because so far it's been pretty cool, but I know I'm going to miss out on a lot if I don't play the prequel first. So there is that section that I'll have to think about. Now, since I already mentioned Cyber Shadow once, I might as well mention that I did start to play it a little bit as well. One of the cool things is that this one also is a PS4 and PS5 game, so you get both games if you purchase it once, and both games have separate trophy lists, because at the moment, for whatever reason, maybe just the shift over from the PS4 to PS5, like different generations and whatnot, all games that have kind of dual, I guess like access availability, also have two separate trophy lists. So this has kind of been a real fun time where any game that has a PS4 and a PS5 edition and whatnot, you can kind of just switch between the two and get double the trophies. So real fun there. Cyber Shadow, pretty tough, guys, pretty tough. I'm not the greatest at kind of like more old school type, I guess like retro games and whatnot. Michael made a good point where this kind of gives like strong vibes of like Ninja Gaiden and things like that. And I can definitely see it. I can also feel a lot of vibes of like old school Mega Man games, especially like the music. The music really gives me strong Mega Man vibes for some reason. I'm not sure quite why, but yeah, it's real good music. Like basically kind of it's got this cool ambiance as you're kind of going through the levels and everything. And then I recently, I think, finished the, what is it? First couple bosses, I believe, because that is one thing. And I know I just talked about how like I'm loving the idea of dual trophy lists and stuff, but guys, the trophy list for Cyber Shadow, pretty difficult. It's pretty insane how difficult this trophy list is, and it's mainly because it's not your typical type of trophy list that you get for, I'd say, like a lot of indie games. Generally, I feel like for indie games, or just most games in general, you get trophies for doing kind of more basic things throughout the story, like, oh, you went and defeated this boss, or you went and, you know, found a secret here, stuff like that, right? There are some of those things, but a lot of the trophies from what I'm seeing so far are related to, like, very specific secret things that you can do kind of within the game, or, like, specific ways to play through the game. It kind of reminds me a little bit in terms of the Tales of series, especially Tales of Vesperia. Tales of Vesperia's trophy list, and even achievement list back in the day, before they made the definitive edition and everything, that one had a lot of what they called secret missions, where it's basically kind of in boss fights, there was a specific kind of almost like extra action or extra kind of thing that you could do that would sometimes cause a small cutscene in the game. And if you managed to do it, you unlocked a trophy/achievement for that kind of thing. And usually it had some kind of effect on the boss fight itself, like maybe it kind of stunned the boss for a good amount of time and you can get a decent amount of damage in before it gets back up and stuff. But those kinds of secret mission type trophies are pretty rare for most games, I'd say. But, you know, for Cyber Shadow, as well as the Tales of Vesperia and all those types of things, apparently this is kind of what they're going for here. So whether or not this is a, you know, good trophy list, it kind of remains to be seen. It's going to be a tough trophy list for sure, though. So that is one thing. But from what I can kind of tell, though, after beating the first couple bosses, I have seen that I reached a point where I could then transfer myself back to the first area. I don't know if that means that I can then fight the boss again, or if these kind of trophies have to be, you know, really looked ahead and researched ahead of time so that you know exactly what you're about to get into, so that if you want to try and get the platinum and whatnot, you can, you know, keep that in mind and hopefully get those things out of the way before the bosses are gone. But I think overall, though, it seems like the game can be finished pretty quickly. I think there is even a... It's my least favorite type of trophy when it comes to trophies, but I think there is a speedrun trophy for finishing the game within a certain number of hours. So if that is the case, I'm sure you can kind of, you know, once you've played through the game and everything, gotten a good sense of all the bosses and where you're supposed to go and everything like that, you could probably finish it pretty quickly and then do cleanup trophies. But, you know, we'll see how everything goes. Now, I have unlocked some on the PS4 and PS5. I think I'm probably going to mostly play it on the PS5 version, but I played a little on the PS4 just because I was, I think, in the bedroom at one time, and that's what I was kind of doing there. So we'll kind of see how I go. For these type of more, like, intense kind of retro action games and stuff, it's similar to, like, Bloodborne kind of things where I need more of a break in between sometimes. So I think I finished the first couple bosses, and I was like, whew, I feel super tense. I need to just chill out for a bit. Let's go take a bubble bath or something. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I needed a little bit of a break. So I was like, okay, let's jump into something else. And I think I played a little bit of either Minecraft or Atelier Ariza after that. So I was like, okay, this is a good kind of break in between these kind of more tense action games. And yeah, it was the kind of what it is. I haven't gone back yet, but I plan to sometime soon. I'm not sure when. It's kind of when the mood strikes me, I know I can go and become a cyber ninja. So that is kind of what it is there. Then the last few games I played, I started a little bit of a game called Outward. This is kind of an interesting one where I think it came out last year or in 2019. And it's an interesting concept where basically you are an adventurer who just kind of travels around and, you know, has adventures. Like, that sounds like some of the weirdest, like, strangest concepts for a game, but it's something that, you know, you don't really do a lot of in games. A lot of games tend to just be like, you know, they have a story and you kind of follow the story. Maybe it lets you kind of wander around the world and find side quests and things, but you eventually get back to, like, more of a linear path, right? For Outward, as far as I can tell, it's basically you just kind of go and explore. And the aspect of the game that, you know, makes it more of a game itself, more of a, like an RPG, is that you kind of have your, you know, you go and explore, but you're kind of managing a bunch of systems on the side, things like your backpack's weight. You carry around all your supplies in your backpack, and you can kind of like set up camps and things. You can leave your backpack somewhere while you fight some monsters and then pick it back up and continue on in your journey. And It's a pretty cool, like, game idea if you're, like, really, really into the more, like, nerdy system management kind of things, which I tend to kind of be. At the time that it came out, I was kind of excited to try it out. I think it was actually from a friend of Michael's. So Michael basically was telling me that a friend of his, I think his name is Adam, he was basically playing Outward and was telling Michael about it, and he was kind of describing it as it's like a really, like, silly kind of game. And so that at the time, I was like, oh man, that's not what I was looking for. I was looking for some kind of cool adventure vibes and stuff. But it was on sale. I think it was only like $12 or something recently. Normal price, I think, is like $40. So I was like, oh, this is a good time to, like, check it out and stuff. And I got to check out the tutorial. Man, tutorial was pretty long as far as tutorials go usually. But I feel like I have a good idea of kind of the systems within the game and stuff now. So hopefully I can kind of start up an actual playthrough and see what it's like and everything, give you guys a little bit better of an idea. But yeah, if you're interested at all in kind of some of the things I was talking about, just the idea of exploring, kind of finding, like, new creatures and caves and things like that and far out lands in the wilderness, check it out. I think it's still on sale at the moment. So, you know, pretty cool time to try it, if anything. I also platinumed a game called Lumini, or Lumini. I'm not sure. It's kind of L-U-M-I-N-I. It could be said a multitude of ways, I'm sure. But that one's a fun game in terms of it's very relaxing, very calming. You control these like little weird alien flying fish creatures. And as you kind of make your way through this land and whatnot, you gain, I guess, like new colored luminis, I think is what they're called. And as you kind of gain the new colors, each different color has a different ability. So things like the blue one have like this speed boost so you can kind of jet through areas. And then the red ones are kind of your attack alien luminis, and they can kind of repel off enemies and things that are trying to get you. But kind of as you make your way through, it's got really good music, I think is the biggest plus for this thing. Is the music has great like swells and ebbs and flows. As you kind of go through, it's telling you this story using kind of more like visual imagery in the background. And it's pretty cool. I felt myself kind of being like emotionally stirred a few times and not really totally knowing why. You know, it's just kind of like the music swells at the right times when you're kind of looking out over this alien landscape and stuff and kind of seeing remnants of, say, like a you know, extinct colony of alien creatures and things. And then kind of like how the scenery changes to like storms on this alien planet and stuff. And overall, the game's a pretty cool ride. I think if I had, because I started it a while ago and then put it down for a period of time, if you wanted to play through the entire thing, you could probably do it in one sitting. I'd say it'd probably only take you like a few hours. And overall, the puzzles, because there are a few like puzzle aspects in here, the puzzles aren't hard or anything. You have the ability to kind of split your swarm of Lumini into kind of two separate swarms and then control them separately using the left and right thumbsticks. And kind of going through that makes it pretty easy to solve most puzzles and things. I think only towards the end they start to get a little bit more heavy in like the puzzle aspect, but overall it's a pretty cool ride, and I would recommend it for people who are looking for something more relaxing, kind of I guess like something to just kind of, you don't have to think too hard is what I'm saying when you're playing this game. You get to kind of just watch and see how things go, and maybe you kind of pick up on some of the story details as you're going through and stuff, but pretty fun experience overall. So definitely check it out. I think normal price is like $10, and I think when I bought it a while back, it was on sale for like $5. So I think even if it's not on sale still, it's still a pretty, you know, it's worth $10 for sure. And then the last one was actually a game that came out today called Olia, and it's spelled not really like how it sounds, or at least, you know, in English pronunciation and stuff. It's Olija, so kind of the YA sound of, I think places like, what, like maybe like Sweden and stuff like that? I'm not sure entirely. But basically the game is kind of got more of a retro looking style. I don't know if you'd necessarily call it pixel art, but it's got a pretty cool, somewhat, I don't know if crude is the right word, but it's got this real like kind of like brazen in your face like retro style to it. And it's got pretty cool kind of like background storytelling aspects, somewhat similar to Lumini, but it does have kind of like talking and stuff from characters within the game. So I think there's also a narrator that kind of follows you around, not in literal body form, but like, you know, kind of like ethereal ghost speaking towards like you, the player. Oh, excuse me, hiccups. But yeah, overall, like I've played maybe getting close to like an hour of the game so far. Very fun though. The game is kind of about a character who, I think his name is Lord Faraday. And he is kind of from this small, like, or it seems like small, seemingly small town on kind of the coast. And basically the town has been suffering for quite a while. I think they mentioned things like, you know, just like overall, like the sea has become like less bountiful for their fishermen. And the town is kind of struggling to pay off debts from, I think they mentioned it's like wars that they had lost. And so basically Lord Faraday is trying to change the, you know, the winds for his town and whatnot. And so he basically sets off with a group of men, and along the way their ship is destroyed by some kind of like large, I think they said it was like a large whale or like a large creature basically. And he ends up washing ashore on, you know, this mysterious like island and stuff. And as he's making his way through, he finds this cursed harpoon, and, you know, is now going to try and like find the rest of his crewmates. I think according to the trailers, from what I saw, there's a couple trailers on the PSN at the moment. The first trailer is kind of more about like story-wise and more action scenes and things. Actually, I think the first trailer was also kind of, it had some cool like animated scenes in there as well. But the second trailer was very interesting because it talks about a kind of almost like a love interest for your main character, Lord Faraday. And I think it'll be pretty interesting to kind of go through this. At the moment, the one disappointing thing I'll say is that although the action is great, I'm loving the ambiance and everything, the one disappointing thing, and you guys know me, I'm the trophy titan over here, is that the trophy list isn't live yet. So it's been kind of weird where I think I tried to, as I do with most games when I try them out, or start them out first, I start up the game, I try to sync the trophy list so I can kind of take a look through everything, see what I need to do for certain ones. Stuff like Cyber Shadow, which really needs your attention. But I try to look through the trophy list and it doesn't pop up. And so that's, you know, generally a sign that the developer or on the Sony side, something has happened where basically the trophy list just hasn't populated on the network yet. And so therefore, when the network's trying to ping it, it's not coming back with anything. And so it doesn't show up on the like live list. It's the same, I think, for PSN profiles at the moment. I haven't seen it on that game list there as well, so it's probably going to take a little bit of time before that pops up. But I do know there are trophies in there, because I popped one earlier today for, I think, cutting like 20 grass bushes or something. So something random like that, and I was just like, okay, well, there are trophies, which is nice to see. But yeah, I think it's a pretty cool game so far. I think it is $14.99. As you guys know, when I kind of tell you like the prices of things and whatnot, I'm just letting you know so that if you want to go and check things out in the store, you're not like price shocked or anything like that. But you know, I'm never like sponsored by these things. I just think that I should point people towards cool indie games and cool games in general. Yeah, that's pretty much what we got for this week here. I know it's a little bit of a longer episode, but we had some, you know, a lot of interesting things to talk about, or at least interesting in my opinion at this point. If you guys thought it was interesting as well, or you kind of know a little bit more about stocks and all these different things, if you know some secret insider information in terms of these fantasy critic drafting things, let me know. You can always email us at brosandconsoles@gmail.com. If you've got some cool game recommendations or things you want me to try out as well, feel free to send me a link or just a recommendation. I'm also on Twitter at IndieRonan, and I look forward to seeing you guys again. I'd love to see you guys, but I don't have, you know, video access and stuff, so don't worry about that. Okay, calm yourself. And yes, this is all staying in the podcast. I'm not taking any of it out. All right. Now, I will see you guys again in a week. I look forward to podcasting for you guys again next week, Thursday. As always, thank you guys for the support and the love and everything. And take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. I will talk to you guys again in 7 days or so. Until then, peace out and cheers, everybody.